Racing on Radio Yorkshire with Bobby Beavers.
It certainly is. A very good evening to everybody. Welcome to the Cheltenham Preview, live here on Radio Yorkshire with myself, Bobby Beavers. I'm joined in the studio by Jim McGrath and also by Luke Elder. Dan Barber of Timeform will be joining us in the second hour. So we've got so much racing to look forward to, some fantastic guests on the phone. Just very quickly, Jim McGrath is here. You looking forward to Cheltenham?
Well, that's a silly question, Bobby. Of course I'm looking forward to Cheltenham. Everybody's looking forward to Cheltenham. And all we want to know, all the listeners want to know is, have you had your medication?
Well, we'll find out at 9 o'clock anyway. Luke Elder, very good to see you here this evening. What horse are you looking forward to the most at Cheltenham have seen?
Oh, personally, Death Duty and the Albert Bartlett, betting-wise, but there's so many horses that you'd be looking forward to seeing, so many that aren't turning up, but it looks a good 4 days.
It certainly does. Well, we're here, the Cheltenham Preview. We're on air until 9 p.m. this evening. We're on DAB across Yorkshire. Also, at all the www.radioyorkshire.co.uk online. Also, you can listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile and also on Facebook Live if you go to our Radio Yorkshire page. And we're also live via YouTube as well on our Radio Yorkshire channel. Our preview tonight is in association with Ladbrokes. So if you want to know all the latest betting with Ladbrokes, do visit their website at allthews.ladbrokes.com. Now we're going to go straight into our first guest, and I'm delighted now to be joined on the phone by Harry Fry. Harry, a very good evening.
Good evening, Bobby.
How are you? Are you well?
Very good, thank you, yes.
Right, well, we've got you here on our Cheltenham Preview. Thank you very much for your time. I want to go straight into the first question in regards to Neon Wolf, because with Ladbrokes is the 100-30 favourite for the Supreme, and also with Ladbrokes is the 2-1 favourite for the Neptune. So where do you think he's going to turn up, Harry?
Well, we've all along sort of told everyone that we're keeping our options open. We just want to see what the weather's doing. Obviously, he was hugely impressive and very exciting at Haydock in January in the Supreme trial. But we've always felt that the further he goes, the better he goes. So we just wanted to see what the weather was going to do. We confirmed him for both races, and we'll sit down with the owners and make a final decision then.
Ideally, where would you like to see him turn up in your opinion?
Well, we've always felt that the Neptune's probably the race for him, that little bit further. But at the same time, if we wanted to keep our options open in case the ground would come up on the slow side or soft ground, and then we'd have to look at the Supreme. So, and of course, it depends on what other horses potentially run in the Supreme or don't run in the Supreme. I mean, Moonracer, for example, there's talk of him going for the champion. If he went that way, well, that might make the Supreme more attractive as well. So it's a great dilemma to have with exciting young horse like him to have choices.
And you mentioned the run last time out at Haydock. I was there that day when he did win. You know, very, very impressive from start to finish, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he surprised us, really, because we never really thought of him as a two-mile. He's definitely long-term, he's hopefully a staying chaser in the making. But, I mean, when I first mentioned that race to Noel Feely, his jockey, he said, no, wrong trip, wrong track. And then the more I looked at it and the more we were seeing with him at home and his work, I said, no, is this slow ground? We're going to have to go for that. And he showed us a really good turn of foot up the straight and he jumped really well. So he's got us excited, and we're looking forward to running him in one of the novices next week.
And another horse to very much look forward to. You've currently got the favourite with Ladbrokes for the Stayers Hurdle, and that is You Know What I Mean, Harry. Currently your 6-5 favourite there. What a fantastic recruit it is for yourself, Harry. Since he's joined your stable, he's 8-8, including the Cleve last time out.
Yeah, it's just been an incredible story, really. And it's pretty much unbelievable. The fact he came into the yard as rated 123, a maiden over hurdles, and here we are 8 wins later, going into Cheltenham Festival as favourite for the Stayers Hurdle. So It's the stuff you don't even dream of and dream about or dare dream about. So, I mean, obviously, he's a joy to train. That's what we all hope to have in the yard, train horses of his calibre. And obviously, we're hoping that next week he can keep the ball rolling.
He's taken a pretty similar route into the race as Thistlecrack last year, Harry. How confident would you be behind, you know what I mean, Harry? Because a few people are still trying to sort of pick holes in him, even though he's done absolutely nothing wrong, has he?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really always been the case. I think people sort of think, well, he can't keep on winning. And I mean, even this year, he had to come out and step up to another level, and he's done that. And it didn't matter whether they didn't go cue really strong gallop at Newbury first time out, and it turned into a bit of a sprint up the straight. Then they went a furious gallop at Ascot in the fog in the long walk hurdle. So it doesn't really seem to matter. Sort of ground tactics. He seems to answer all the questions, as you say. And I mean, those 3 mile hurdles pick themselves through the season. And the Cleve, as you rightly say, has been a great stepping stone to the Stayers hurdles. So hopefully we can follow in the footsteps of previous dual winners, i.e. Cleve winners that have gone on to win the Stayers.
So yeah, Albert Butler winner last year as well. How pivotal to, you know what I mean, Harry, is Cheltenham Festival form? He's been there and done it, unlike a few of the others.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you hear people talking about Cheltenham form, let alone Festival form. I think he's won 4 times at the course now, so he clearly likes the place, and that's got to be a real positive.
I'll say, all of the other horses in the field, you've got the likes of Shane Seal there. I'm not saying going to be fearing anything, because you know what I mean, Harry has beaten all before him, but who would you have down as the main danger to your superstar?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's beaten the English challengers, but the Irish horses are going to be a different kettle of fish. And actually, I think Jezki potentially, who obviously runs in the same ownership as you know what I mean, Harry. I think we probably put a line through his last run on testing ground. We know he doesn't like that. And if the weather continued to stay dry, that we know how quickly Cheltenham can dry out, and he could possibly be previous champion hurdle winner. If he was right back to his best, he could probably give us most to think about.
Harry, just you mentioned two stars, I suppose, in effect, but you've also got your A team, American and Air Force One, horses in great form. Have you decided where they'll go yet, please?
Yeah, well, American, Noel Feely will shoot me if I don't run him in the RSA. Of course, he can't ride him in the 4 mile National Hunt Chase for amateur riders. Those days are long behind Noel. Obviously he was very impressive at Warwick in a listed novice chase, jump for fun down the back straight, and that's what really won it for him. So we're looking forward to the RSA with him on slow ground, hopefully. But and then Air Horse One, we didn't declare for the Imperial Cup at Sandown on Saturday, and he's been left in the corral. But to be honest, we've always thought that the county hurdle would be where he lines up next.
Well, Harry, thank you very much for joining us on our Cheltenham preview this evening. The best of luck next week at Cheltenham, and hopefully we'll see you in the winner's enclosure more than once.
Great. Thanks very much, Bobby.
Thank you very much, Harry Fry there, joining us here on our Cheltenham preview in association with Ladbrokes. Don't forget, if you are going to have a bet on the Cheltenham Festival, do visit the Ladbrokes website at allthews.ladbrokes.com. What we're going to do now, though, is we're just going to have a look at the Supreme. We'll start with the Supreme. Interesting what he had to say there. I'll start with Mr. Elder. See where he's going to go. I want to talk to you about Melon. You know, Melon, the 7-2 second favourite as it stands at the moment with Ladbrokes. Only had the one appearance, and that was at Leopardstown in a maiden. Is he well supported, Luke? Purely the fact that it's a Willie Mullins horse.
I think he's always going to be well supported, isn't he? I think Willie Mullins has had the last 3-4 favourites to this race. The last three winners before that. But he was second in the race last year with Mini, 7-2 with Ladbrokes Melon. He was impressive on the one run over in Ireland. The form hasn't really worked out. I think Phil Smith that came on at the races this morning said he rated him about 1.53, which seems awfully high to me on what he's done over in Ireland in one run. But we've heard about Melon for quite some time now, and it seems that when Willie Mullins and connections say such high praise for their horses. They usually do get to the Cheltenham Festival, mm-hmm. and they usually turn up as favourite. How good is Mellon going to be? We don't know yet. He is the horse that's got untapped potential on his side. Ballyandy, mm-hmm. we know most things about him. Moonrace is getting towards that way as well. Move with the Times, similar. Bunk Off Early was beaten last time out, albeit in a very hot race. And Mellon could still be the horse that is very, very good in the field. We just don't know.
Yeah, we're not quite sure yet because, as you say, he's only had the one run. It was impressive at Leopardstown. Take nothing away from him. Jim, Ballyandy is going to line up in the Supreme. 4-1, third favourite with Ladbrokes. Ballyandy champion, bumper winner last year. First win over hurdles, though, last time out coming in the Betfair hurdle, which he did perform well that day.
Yeah, the first two drew clear. They were unexposed novices. He did the job largely very well. The only reservation I have about Ballyandy is he's not that fluent a jumper. I mean, he made two or three mistakes at Sandown. He missed two hurdles, not badly, but he did miss his rhythm at Newbury and got away with it. The point about the track on the Tuesday at Cheltenham as opposed to the Wednesday and the Friday, which is run on the new course, is that on the 2 mile hurdle course on the Tuesday and Thursday, there are three hurdles in the last six furlongs, whereas on the Triumph hurdle course, as we call it, the other course, there are two in the last seven, so there's not the same premium on jumping, and it's where the race usually accelerates. So he's the price he is, and it wouldn't surprise me if he won, but I personally can't see why necessarily he should beat Moonracer if he turns up in this.
Well, Moonracer is the interesting one. Ballyandy has beaten... Moonracer has beaten Ballyandy twice. Moonracer, I was there that day when he won the champion bumper back in 2015, because if I'm right in saying, Jim, didn't Moonracer bluff the start ever so slightly in the champion
bumper? He got hampered. It was a start. He got caught flat-footed at the start, and I don't think, if you ask David Pipe, I don't think it was the happiest couple of minutes of his life, because the horse was very strongly fancied. And in the end came through all the trouble and won. I thought he beat Ballyandy, who admittedly wasn't quite right after the race, fairly and squarely at Cheltenham last time. It was a muddling affair, and of course Move with the Times was in the race as well. But I thought he did it snug. People will point out and say, well, he hasn't run since, but his whole career has been littered with long absences. So it's something I wouldn't pay too much attention for. Just picking up from what Luke said earlier about Mellon... As he rightly said, the form of his win to me doesn't add up to much so far. There hasn't been much run from the race. He won easily, but I don't think he beat a lot. But the fact is, as we sit here now, Willie Mullins has still got 10 horses in this race, and he's on record as saying, I'll be amazed if Ruby Walsh doesn't ride this. Now, the others aren't all useless, so he probably is better than his form, but he has to prove it in public.
Well, I do want to mention now, Move with the Times. I know myself and Jim, we watched the race, the Betfair Hurdle, didn't we, together at Newbury?
We did,
when Move with the Times finished second. Luke, Move with the Times, are you a fan of this horse in the JP McManus colours? Paul Nichols, the trainer, and Malt Walsh will be taking the mount.
He's another one that's done absolutely nothing wrong. Was beaten by Ballyandy last time out in the Betfair Hurdle. Was rated 1.36 on that occasion. I'm not 100% convinced it's the best Supreme in the world. He wouldn't have to improve miles from that you'd expect a normal Supreme winner to do so, but he won nicely at Wincanton in a pretty weak race. He did the same at Fontwell at the start of the year. Got well put in his place by Moonracer and Ballyandy. He wanted to overturn that form, but I think he is just a horse that's going from strength to strength. I don't think we've seen the best of Move with the Times. The one slight concern I'd have with him and Ballyandy taking that form from the Betfair Hurdle is that on the day, they were on by far the best patch of ground. If you were nearer to the stands on the hurdles track, that's exactly where you wanted to be, and that's where they came with their challenges. You had, I think, Klein took them through the race, was on the far side of the track, and he was on by far the worst part of the ground. They travelled very strongly into the race. I'm not sure whether flat is the wrong word, because they were by far the best in the contest, but to get too carried away with Supreme sort of quotes for them, I'm not 100% sure. They'd both be horses I'd be looking to take on, but out of the two, I think I'd favour Move with the Times over Ballyandy.
And with the rest of the field as well, Luke, what else would you like to mention? What else has caught your eye in the Supreme this year?
If I'd have a bet right now, it would be Sealhouse Emery, who's 14-1 with Ladbrokes. He's done little wrong, in fairness to him. He was second beat on Mick Jazz last time out, another Willie Mullins runner, surprise, surprise. But he wasn't beaten far by Mick Jazz. I don't think he really had the running of the race to suit. He really impressed me when beating Joey Sass at a time before. Again, whether this year is going to be his year, I'm not 100% sure. He'll make into a nice chaser in a year or two's time. I think at bigger prices, if you were to force me to have a bet now, then he would be the way I go.
And that's with Ladbrokes. Sorry, look, what price is that?
14-1 currently.
14-1 with Ladbrokes there. Jim, it's a bigger price. Has anything caught your eye in the Supreme?
Not particularly. I mean, we touched on Bonkoff early briefly when Luke ran through his had his first stab at this. I was in Ireland for that the Sunday he ran, and the feeling seemed to be there were no outstanding horses a la Duvan and a la Vatour, and that's probably true, but the fact is there were 10 winners in that race in Ireland. All the horses had won, so it was a pretty competitive renewal. He was very free through the race. He's a big, strong horse, and he went like the best horse in the race for a long way. Now, whether that means it'll translate that he's back at a slightly shorter trip, the trip of the Supreme, he's slightly better, remains to be seen. It might be that he's just a weakish finisher, which is something else that's been levelled at him as well. But I think it's a very open race. If you said to me, I have to have a bet, I'd chance Moonracer being 100% and that he goes here, and I don't have to bet until I know whether he does or not.
Well, I will give you the latest betting at the moment with Ladbrokes. Just very quickly though, Jim, somebody on Facebook Live has got in touch, and they have put, it's a guy called Andrew Graham, so hello Andrew, who's watching the show tonight. Jim, what's your best tip for the festival, he's asked.
Well, I've only had two bets at the festival so far, so I can only, you know, until you know the final fields, it's pointless saying this is the best, because you don't know what they're running against. Mm-hmm. But I have backed Beware the Bear each way at 16-1. I backed that about 10 days ago in the 4-miler. He's not a good thing, but I thought he was a big price and he should run well. And I like Jack Adam in the Gold Cup. Again,
we're going to have a good show here. We're going to have a good show.
I think he has almost done it twice. The ground's right. He's had a good prep. He should go very well.
Yeah, second 2 years ago behind Kona Green, second 12 months ago behind Don Cossack. For obvious reasons, I still can't watch last year's Gold Cup when Q Card came down. I was talking to Alex Plunkett about it earlier on. It still hurts 12 months on. I think he's the favourite at the moment with Ladbrokes as well. Q Card. We will give you
a
later.
You're a Q Card tragic, are you?
I love
you're
that
a sucker
horse.
For romance, aren't you?
So's Alice. What a pair they make.
I tell you what, as Kevin Keegan once said many years ago, in his sort of style, I'd love it if Q Card won the Gold Cup. I'd love it if he won it.
Well, I'm waiting for Dan Barber to come in because I think he's a Jack and Am fan as well, so it'll be against one for that, yeah.
Oh, dear. Don't worry, I'll get Alice Plunkett on the phone. She could put the kids to bed late. It'd be absolutely fine. And thank you to Andrew Graham as well for getting in touch. If you've got any questions for any of the panel tonight, by all means, ask your questions on Facebook Live, which is on our Radio Yorkshire page. Also, you can send us a tweet as well, which is at Radio Yorkshire and @Radio_Yorkshire. And if you'd like to send us an email too with any questions about anything, it's studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk. If you're just tuning in, a very good evening to you. This is the Cheltenham Preview live on Radio Yorkshire. We're here till 9 p.m. hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. I'm joined in the studio by Luke Elder and Jim McGraw. Dan Bob from Timeform will be joining us very shortly. You've already missed the Harry Fry interview. Don't worry though, because it will go onto podcast, so you can listen to that later on. Coming up shortly though, we're going to hear from Alice Plunkett. I spoke to Alice earlier on today. She's going to be looking ahead to the Cheltenham, to the Champion Hurdle, should I say, at Cheltenham. Just after 8 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Colin Tizard. He's going to talk to us about Native River and a horse called Q Card, is it? But be interested to see what he has to say later on. Nico de Boinville will join us around about 8:25 to give us the latest on Altior. And then at 8:45, we're going to be joined by Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes, who's going to give us all the latest betting for the Cheltenham Festival. Our preview is in association with Ladbrokes. So if you want to see what Ladbrokes are pricing up on the Cheltenham Festival, do visit their website at allthews.ladbrokes.com. If you listeners, well, we're on DAB across the White Rose County. We're also available at allthews.radioyorkshire.co.uk, where you can watch it live. Also available on the TuneIn Radio app, and not forgetting Facebook Live, and also live via YouTube as well. I can breathe now. Right then, coming up very shortly, then we're going to be looking ahead to the Stayers Hurdle. Let's just give you quickly the latest betting with Ladbrokes for the Supreme. It's 100-30 Neon Wolf, 7-2 Melon, 4-1 Ballyandy, Bunkoff early at 5-1, also Moonracer, Move with the Times at 15-2, and then it is 9-1 Bar. Now, before we look ahead to the Stayers Hurdle, I'm just going to ask the panel now for a tip. So, Mr. Elder, I will start with you first. What is going to win the Supreme?
I have no idea what's going to win it. Silas Emery, each way would be a fancy of mine at the moment. It's a wide open race.
Jim?
As I said, I agree with what Luke said. But if you said to me, you're being nailed to the floor here, you've got to have 50 quid on something or 20 quid on something, I'd stick it on Moonracer.
And I agree there. I said that last year when you beat Ballyandy up at Perth.
You did.
You saw the tweet.
I think you were saying it building up to the festival last year as well. You've been harping on about this for ages.
Yeah, big fan of Moonracer.
Well, Bobby's wired to the moon, in case you hadn't noticed.
I have to say, I saw him at Doncaster the other day, and he was falling asleep standing up. I think your youngest had 3 hours sleep the night before. I've never heard Bobby so quiet in my life. I was concerned for you.
Yeah, bless him. He's had bronchiolitis, my son, bless him. And that night, I think we had about 3 hours sleep.
Heaven help us if you get that.
Doncaster Racecourse, thank the kid.
I think the whole of Twitter thanked the kid, let alone Doncaster Races, including my missus as well. Anyway, let's move on now. We're going to talk about the Stayers Hurdle, obviously previously known as the Ladbrokes World Hurdle, now known as the Stayers Hurdle. We spoke to Harry Fry. We spoke about You Know What I Mean. Harry, Jim, I'm coming to you first. Since he's joined Harry Fry, he's been absolutely magnificent. He's been 8 from 8, and he won the Cleeve Hurdle last time out.
It's one of these things. Joining Timeform early on, I remember Phil Bull saying to me, a lot of punters are afraid of a short priced horse because a lot of times horses are perhaps shorter than they should be, but it's very hard to knock this horse's credentials. Firstly, he pulls up in front. He doesn't do much when he hits the front, and secondly, his record is unblemished. I was at Newbury and Ascot when he won this season. Very impressive on those occasions. I think if you're looking for one against him, then Shane's Hill might run well into a place. But to me, this is his race to lose. If he performs at his best, he'd be very hard to beat.
Do you echo those thoughts, what Mr. McGrath just said?
I agree with everything Jim has just said. You know what I mean, Harry? You really can't knock what he's done. He's carried all before him. As Harry Fry mentioned, he's beaten the English horses. Shane's Hill will be the obvious one to take him on with. He beat Cole Harden, a previous winner of this race, last time out in the Cleeve Hurdle. He is, as you said, Bobby, 8 from 8 since joining the Harry Fry Yard. I love Shane's Hill, I have to say. I've got a real soft spot for him. He's absolutely diminutive in stature, but he's ran well at 3 Cheltenham Festivals now. I think he's come second in a Champion Bumper, a Supreme, and the RSA last year. I don't think he was a natural chaser whatsoever. I think it's testament to the horse's ability and class that he managed to finish second to Black Lion. He since went back over hurdles. He finished second to the Mighty Thistlecrack at Aintree last year. I think he came down at Punchestown. I think he also went abroad to America as well to run stateside, but he's so tough. He's very, very classy. Around 7 to 1-ish. I think he's a really good each way bet against, you know what I mean, Harry. He might be, I'm not sure, but a 7 to 1, he'd be the value for the race. I completely agree with Jim.
And Vroom Vroom Mag is your second favourite with Ladbrokes at 9 to 2. She's going to go for the Mayor's Hurdle. Is that right? She's going to go up against.
You'd be surprised, wouldn't you, if she came here?
Well, I'm just thinking she is now Rich Ritchie's only entry in the Champion Hurdle, isn't she? Now, I know he said his quotes this morning and he's been doing a blog and he said no decision's been made. It'll be made nearer the time after they work this weekend, etc. And that the mares could clash is it more likely? But a couple of days ago, Limini was being spoken of as maybe being supplemented for the Champion Hurdle. That hasn't happened. He's a big owner with several mares. He's got one in the Champion Hurdle. Would he run it in that? I don't know.
I think she'd be more likely to go for the Champion than the World Hurdle.
Yeah, I
think the Mayor's Hurdle's most likely for her, but I'd be very surprised if she turned up here.
Well, as we come on to Jess Key, who is in the market with Ladbrokes at 7 to 1, Mark Justice has been in touch here. Very good evening to you, Mark. Thank you for tuning in to the show. A question for Jim. Jim, do you think Jess Key will stay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll stay. He stayed before, hasn't he? He's tried it before. I mean, brought back to campaign at Shorter again this season. I'm not sure how reliable a race that was at Goram the other day. The ground was appalling. On the face of things, Tombstone, who pinched first run, was impressive. And you could say it was slightly disappointing that Jeske couldn't reel him back in. But, you know, he's a horse who's had an injury, been out for a while. I could see him winning. But I really do think, you know what I mean, Harry, sets a strong standard for for this. Maybe not big bucks level, but not far off it. And the fact is that he pulls up in front as well. So we probably haven't quite seen the best of him, despite his unbeaten run.
One horse that won this race back in 2015 was Cole Hardin, who was second behind, you know what I mean, Harry, last time out in the market at 8-1. Luke, can he win it for a second time?
I think it's pushing it a little bit to say he could win it this season. I think he's live each way value. As we said, he ran a cracker behind, you know what I mean, Harry, on trials day. But I don't really think he's a viable win candidate for this year. I think he went for a gallop at Newbury the other day, part of the Warren Great Tricks string, and it was in desperate ground. But I just think he's coming up a little bit short for win purposes. Just a touch on Jezky, as Jim did a second ago. I still worry about his stamina a little bit. There was a good point, man. I can't remember who made it the other day, but he's run over 3 miles once. He beat Hurricane Fly. Hurricane Fly was still a suspect stayer at that time. Just because you've beaten a horse that also has stamina issues in that regard doesn't necessarily mean that you stay 3 miles.
But if you want to actually nitpick about this, it's not even 3 miles this race now, is
true.
It? It's actually if it's anything, even though it's Cheltenham, it's not actually the full distance of 3 miles. So whether you need an out stayer, I mean, what did you make of Jezky at Goran the other day?
I was delighted that he ran like that, to be quite honest. I think
why is that?
Well, he was going to bounce because he'd been off for quite some time, hadn't he? He'd performed nicely on reappearance. You always had in the back of your mind that the bounce factor was going to be quite a big thing with Jezky. I'm delighted he did it last time out as to doing it at Cheltenham, because he'd have ran deplorably and everyone would have been thinking, oh, why has he come here after an injury? I think it was right of Jessica Harrington to take him there. He is going to have three runs relatively quickly back, but I'd rather he ran badly last time out going into this race than just go straight here from his reappearance, if that makes any sense.
And would you take the literal merits of him and Tombstone?
Oh, God, no.
No, there you are.
Absolutely not.
The handicapper didn't.
I think Tombstone's going to go for a handicap, isn't he?
Yeah, he runs the Coral Cup.
Yeah.
I'd say bigger prices, any horses we need to mention on this day. So, personally, right, I'm going to be on it, and I'm going to state the obvious here. I honestly think, right, and I will get a laugh, but I honestly think that you know what I mean. I can't see him getting beat. I think it is going to be 9 from 9 for him. So my money definitely is going to be on, you know what I mean, Harry, 6-5 with Ladbrokes to win the Stayers Hurdle. But have you guys seen anything at a slightly bigger price? Jim, have you?
Well, we mentioned Shane's Hill earlier on. I mean, he's not a massive price, but he's a horse that's coming here in form. As Luke has just underlined, his record at Cheltenham is excellent on a variety of surfaces as well. So the ground doesn't seem to hold any fears for him. You know, he's a high-class horse. I'm sure he'll run well. But you know what I mean, Harry. Okay, the value in him at the minute has gone. He'll probably be a similar sort of price on the day. Mm-hmm. So he'd have to be my choice. And if you want an alternative, Shane's Hill.
And Luke, you've already given us a 14-1 winner of the Supreme. Are we going to top that at all?
No. I think you know what I mean, Harry. He has to be respected. He'd be a favourite that I'd be willing to take on in a week. But I'm not sure what I'd take him on to beat him. I think Shane Sill's a very live each way bet around sort of 7-1 with Ladbrokes. I just love his Cheltenham record so far. He hasn't yet won, but he can do anything, can't he?
He certainly can. Well, I'm in the, you know what I mean, Harry Camp. I really do think you can make it 9 from 9. Thank you for people who's getting in touch via Twitter. If you've got any questions at all, you can get in touch on Twitter at @Radio_Yorkshire. And also you can get involved on our Facebook Live. If you go onto the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, we're live on Facebook Live there. You can ask questions on there, which people have been doing. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our Cheltenham preview is in association with Ladbrokes, all the ws.ladbrokes.com. We're available on DAB radio across the White Rose County. You can also listen to us as well online at all the ws.radioyorkshire.co.uk. We're on Facebook Live, also live via YouTube as well, and the TuneIn Radio app if you've got that on your mobile. Coming up very shortly, though, we're going to be hearing from Alice Plunkett. I spoke to Alice earlier on today, should I say. We're going to look ahead to the Champion Hurdle. Just before we do, I've got a question for the panel that has come in on Twitter from Jeff Hanley. Hello, Jeff. Jeff has said, are the panel concerned about the form of Nigel Twiston Davis, RE Baliandi in the Supreme? He says no winner in the last 45 runs. Mr. Elder?
It'd have to be a concern, wouldn't it? It would concern me if it were any other yard. I mean, Nigel Twiston Davis, he does well at Cheltenham, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Not to say anything too out of line, but I mean, the yard aren't in great form. He always seems to have a good Cheltenham. I think it was a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, he was in wretched form coming into Cheltenham. I think he still had 2-3 winners. I think same difference won the Kim Muir. He had a 100-1 place in the JLT or the Juicen as it was back then. It wouldn't concern me as much as it were for, well, Alan King, as we saw last year. He didn't have the best of times. His yard were in a lesser form at the time, but it wouldn't concern me as much.
Jim?
In general, one of the maxims of punting is not exclusively, but generally, you like to back horses who are in form, or if they're not in form, you know the conditions are right for them and there are reasons for why they haven't been in form. Nigel has been having a brilliant season. I have to be honest, I wasn't aware that in the last couple of weeks it maybe hadn't gone as well as it has been going.
I confess the same.
Because generally speaking, if you said to me, how's Nigel Twiston Davis been doing this season? I'd say I think he's close to his record score, whatever happens. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a worry. But more for me, the concern for me about Baliandi in the first race is his jumping.
So a concern for jumping there with Baliandi in regards to the form of Nigel Twiston Davis, what we've already mentioned. Right then, do not go anywhere, because coming up in the next 25 minutes, we're going to be hearing from Alice Plunkett. I spoke to Alice earlier on this afternoon. We're going to look ahead to the Champion Hill. I'm going to get the thoughts of Jim McGrath and Luke Elder as well. And Dan Barber is making the journey over from the Timeform offices over in Halifax. He's making the trip here to Leeds, and he will be joining us very, very shortly. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, but do keep those questions coming in via Twitter at @radio_Yorkshire and also on our Radio Yorkshire Facebook page as well. You can ask your questions on there, and you can also watch it live. Remember, our Cheltenham preview is in association with Ladbrokes. For the latest betting on the Cheltenham Festival, do visit their website at all the W's. Ladbrokes.com. As I say, we're going to say it just for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back very shortly. So, Alice, thank you very much for joining us on our Cheltenham preview here on Radio Yorkshire. How are you? Are you well? Are you looking forward to the festival?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Yeah, good to hear you. Just the countdown's very much started in earnest, and I'm just so excited. It's my favourite 4 days of the year, and bring it on.
Yeah, very exciting indeed. Just looking here at the Champion Hurdle, Alice, it's wide open this year without any of the Willie Mullins domination, if you like.
I know, and Malcolm Jefferson could just spoil the party for everyone, couldn't he, for the North? I think he's got a really lively chance. Yanworth is the obvious one, but nobody's been blown away by the style, and I just wonder if he jumps well enough. The new one, I mean, he's incredible. This is his sixth consecutive festival. I think you'd have to say that you'd need soft ground really to see him win a Champion Hurdle. So it is wide, wide open. This year at the festival, it's the first year that I can remember that none of the reigning champions of the feature races are returning to try and regain their crown. So, as you said, it leaves it wide open. But I think there's a serious chance for the North with Malcolm's horse.
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. I was at Malcolm Jefferson's the other day, and with Cyrus Darius as well. They really fancy his chances well. He won the same race that Bouver Dare did 2 years ago. Bouver Dare won the race last year, that novice hurdle over at Aintree. Bouver Dare's in this field as well for Nicky Henderson and Noel Feely, the colours of JP McManus. Bouver Dare, Alice, win of the Supreme. Sorry, beg your pardon. Third in the Supreme last year, won that big race at Aintree.
Yeah, I know. I to be honest, out of the Nicky Henderson two, I prefer Brain Power. Bouver Dare's half brother to Punchy Santa, remember, in years ago, by a soft ground stayer, and he doesn't grab me. You know, they went novice chasing with him. They've gone back hurdling. I would prefer Brain Power. I think he's got more of the wow factor. Certainly, if you look at Nicky Henderson's body language, obviously he's got a lot of owners to keep happy. He's not pinning his colours to either horse yet, but I think the way the horse worked at Kempton before racing the other day, and the way Nicky Henderson spoke about Brain Power, who's owned by Michael Buckley and has got the Grand National winning jockey on board, him in David Mullins, I think he's a really interesting horse. He's got scope. He's a beautiful mover. The thing will be is whether the ground is good enough for him. We're having a bit of rain around Cheltenham, and it will be good to soft, if not softer, on the first day of the meeting, and that may go against him. But out of the Henderson horses, for Henderson to get his sixth champion hurdle, I'd prefer Brain Power.
And Moonrace also lines up in this field as well for David Pipe and Tom Scudamore. Winner of the champion bumper back in 2015. Had a cracking battle in September up at Perth when having a great duel amongst Bally Andy. A winner last time out of the Grade 2 at Cheltenham. Not seen since November, so coming into the race fairly fresh in all fairness. How do you rate Moonrace's chance, Alice?
Yeah, I really like him. I mean, I think, look, he's in there with an each way chance. He's not a standout horse for me. I think it's a big ask for him to come and win this. But, you know, David Pipe clearly rates him very, very highly. And we've seen him as a festival form. You know, it's really interesting how festival form comes to play again. And he's shown he can deliver at the festival. So I absolutely wouldn't rule him out. But he's not on my top three.
He's so loud, he doesn't need a microphone. Racing on Radio Yorkshire with Bobby Beavers.
I tell you what, I don't know who they get to get these voiceovers. He's so loud, he doesn't need a microphone.
He's not wrong.
What? I could be quiet, as I proved at Doncaster.
You're using my microphone right now. Don't believe what you're seeing.
Look, when Bobby made his debut at Cheltenham a couple of years ago, he was broadcasting from the steps outside the weighing room with about a dozen other broadcasters, it has to be said, deafening them all. And Barry Orr walked up to him and said, Bobby, is your voice going to get the trip?
Oh, dear. And it did get the trip, just to ask. I was there for the field day. I was tired by the end of it, but I got the trip.
Listen, they used to call Elaine Page Leatherlungs. You ain't far behind.
Oh, Bobby.
Oh, dear.
Do we have to talk about Cheltenham? We can just talk about you.
Yeah,
we can fill 2 hours with this.
Yeah, just take the mickey out of me for the rest of the night. Listen, just before we go anywhere and we talk about a champion hurdle, and just say what Alice was saying as well, just had a question. I've just seen it here. Jack Farrell has got in touch. Hi, Jack. Thank you for tuning in. Jack says, Yanworth Thoughts. So straight in, says Yanworth Thoughts. Jim, straight to you. Yanworth Thoughts, what Jack said.
High-class horse on form, a great chance. Would love the ground to be as soft as possible. Has a jumping issue. And that's what would worry me most.
Luke?
Opposable.
Interesting.
I liked him for the Neptune last year. I haven't really been that taken with him this season. The general consensus at the start of the year was that he was going to go for the World Hurdle. He was very keen at Ascot when beating Lil Rockefeller back in November. But I don't know, he hasn't really set the world alight for me. He's a favourite at Cheltenham that I'd be very willing to take on.
Interesting stuff. Just looking at the comments here, Gordon Mathers has been in touch. Hi, Gordon. He's just said, what time is Harry Fry on? Unfortunately, you've missed Harry Fry. But don't worry, because this will be available on podcast later on, so you will be able to catch up. And somebody's also been in touch as well. Where'd I see it? Jason Walsh, you are my favourite person the whole wide world, because he has said cue card will win. Jason, thank you so much. You're not teaming up against me like the Jackadam camp over here. So thank you so much for saying that cue card will win. If you've got any questions...
Incidentally, it's not true he loves cue card, because that's the only thing he can work from.
If you have got any questions for us this evening, do get in touch via Facebook on our Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. You can watch us live. Do give us your questions. And also, you can send your questions to Twitter as well at @radio_Yorkshire. If you've just tuned in, this is a Cheltenham preview in association with Ladbrokes, live until 9 p.m. this evening with myself, Bobby Beavers, joined in the studio by Luke Elder and Jim McGraw. We're going to be joined by Dan Barber very shortly from Timeform, and we'll be discussing lots more races to discuss. But now we're going to look ahead to the Champion Hurdle. Obviously, somebody's already been in touch already asking their thoughts about it, about Yanwith. So we've got the thoughts from Jim and Luke in regards to Yanwith. He's your 5-2 favourite with Ladbrokes. Bouvredere is your second favourite at 100-30. I was there when he won the, over the fences. He beat Cloudy Dream, didn't he? The Malcolm Jefferson horse. That was at Haydock, wasn't
yes.
it? I was there that day.
That was the fog day, wasn't it?
It was. Mm. That was the one where we were guessing what won. we had to rely on the jockeys walking to the winner's post the second and third to know actually. That was in the final race. On the card there. Bouvredere, Jim, listed when last time out at Sandown, back over the hurdles.
Yeah, effectively beat Trees and was getting a lot of weight from the horse that cut out the running there, who's been a decent animal in his time but is in no sort of form this time around. A lot of people were very taken by him. I didn't actually think he did a lot wrong over fences. I mean, OK, he was a little bit low, but he was pretty fluent most of the time. Funnily enough, I didn't think he jumped that well at Sandown, to be honest. Now, you can say, well, it didn't make any difference because in the end, he won without coming off the bridle. But I can't stress too much. The Champion Hurdle, the race usually picks up at the top of the hill. Three hurdles from then on, and the two down the hill are vital. That's the jumping test, if you like. A lot like Yanwith, not a little bit. I have my doubts about Bouvredere.
Luke?
I'd be more sold on Bouvredere than Yanwith. I'm still absolutely traumatised because I was quite keen on him for the JLT and backed him at the start of the season, but we'll get over that eventually. You have to be impressed with the way he went about himself at Sandown. The Contenders Hurdle, Nicky Henderson would usually use that race as a stepping stone for his good Champion Hurdle horse. I think Binocular won it a couple of times. I think once might have been on the way to winning the Champion Hurdle. I'm not 100% sure in that, but he showed himself in good heart at the start of the year. The best form and the main form we've got to take with him is the Supreme Novices from last year.
Yep.
He was beaten by Altior. He was 8.5 lengths behind. Min was back in second. He was rapidly closing on Min, but they were ridden completely differently. Altior, we know, is a very, very, very good horse and will likely win the Arkle this season. But he was around a similar distance behind Altior, round three from home at the top of the hill, as he was at the line. He hadn't really lost a great deal of ground on Altior. If anything, he was gaining towards the line. Not saying he was ever going to catch Altior, but I think that's a better run than a lot of people would give him credit for. I hope they ride him a little bit more prominently this season, but I think he's the one they've got to beat.
We need to mention the other Nicky Henderson horse, Brain Power, who has certainly been in improving, Jimmy. He's won his last two. Very impressive last time out in that Grade 3 at Ascot.
Yeah, he has a bad run at Ascot, or a disappointing run at Ascot. At Cheltenham to put behind him. Whether that's a track issue, I don't know. I'm hoping it's not. What's been stressed is that he's a horse that wants decent ground. He doesn't want extremes, doesn't want it really firm, he doesn't want it very soft. I was really impressed with him from what you could see at Ascot. He destroyed a big field off a mark of 149. Well, you know, to be in the first three in the Champion Hurdle, you've got to be winning by four or five lengths off a mark of 149. But he did it really well. He's always been highly regarded. He works with Altior at home quite frequently because he's the only one that can go with him. He has shown signs of temperament, but if they get a strongly run race, and I think this will be a strongly run race for a couple of reasons. And the ground's okay. I'd pick him first.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think there's value there with Ladbrokes at 7-1?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of value in the race full stop. I think it's a really, really open renewal. There's not much. I mean, Bouvredere's favourite, he's not in the first four on official ratings if you look at it. Now, they're only a guide.
Yeah.
You can knock all of them if you want to on standards and what's won the race in the past before. But if you said to me, a little bit like the Supreme, you have to make a decision tonight, it would be Brain Power for me.
Petit Mouchoir is your 5-1 third favourite. Henry de Bromhead sending this horse over from Ireland. Luke, with him, his past two wins have been in Grade 1 company, the Ryanair Hurdle and the Irish Champion Hurdle also.
Yeah, he beat Footpad last time out. Nichols Canyon obviously fell at the last. Nichols Canyon, he beat the time before that as well. He's been to the Cheltenham Festival, which is quite a key thing for such a young horse. He's only six, but he was eighth in the Supreme Novices last season. He was second to Bouvredere at Aintree. Bouvredere's beaten him twice now. I think that is about as good as he is. I get the feeling that he's a little bit flattered. from his last two runs. Nichols Canyon, he's not the same horse for me at Leopardstown. He's ran there, I think, seven times. Six out of those seven times, one of them was a Grade One success when he was a novice. Mm-hmm. But the other six times, he's lost the race at the second last hurdle, which is when the race is really, really beginning to get going. Taking nothing, well, I'm not trying to take too much away from Petit Mouchoir. He's still won two good races in nice style. He was allowed to dominate on both occasions. I don't think he's going to get that here in the Champion Hurdle. He's going to have plenty going forward. I think the new one will probably try and take them along. But yeah. I'd be taking on Petit Mouchoir as well.
It's interesting because Luke's just touched on the pace there. Can I just add to that? Mm-hmm. The new one has been ridden like that this season. But yeah. I don't think he'll get his own way here because JP McManus put in My Ten to Yours at Kempton and used him as a bit of a spoiler. Now, he's got two horses in here with stronger form claims this time around in Yanworth and Bouvardet, who need a gallop. They need a gallop to come off. So I see My Ten to Yours being in this race to do a job, and I think he'll be taking the new one on again.
Well, it's interesting with the new one because I've always said, and I said it 12 months ago, and I'm going to say it again as well, I don't feel this is his distance. I think he's a 2.5 mile. That is my opinion. I know what he's been winning this year. I respect that. But I still stand by the fact 2.5 miles, the Aintree hurdle. Obviously, Aintree is perfect for him. He's won it before, and I think that is his distance. In my opinion, the best chance he had of winning a Champion Hurdle for me was 2014 when he got hampered by our Connor. What's your thoughts about that, Luke?
In my eyes, he gets a new best chance every single year. The new one. It seems to be the race falls apart in a sense, as it has done pretty much this year with Faheen obviously coming out, but you have to say the new one's got another good chance of finally winning a Champion Hurdle this season. I wouldn't be with him personally, but I have to say the international, he was mighty impressive in that before, as Jim mentioned, My Tent or Yours spoiled the party for him rather in the Christmas Hurdle.
Jim, I know you tipped the new one last year, if my memory serves
really. It wasn't the only thing I tipped, but anyway.
Can I just say that I tipped Annie Power, just carry on.
Well done. Well done, Bobby. Well done, Bobby. Would you just like to say, well done, Bobby?
You have no shame.
Well done, Bobby.
No shame.
You've spoken about value and taking a chance with a horse on several occasions tonight, virtually every race we've discussed. If you've got listeners that really want to throw away a fiver at a big price for a horse who is iffy, but undoubtedly talented. Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating that Wicklow Brave is running here. I mean, he is a bit of a monkey. I mean, he's started slowly before, but he bolted up in a county hurdle 2 years ago. He hasn't run over hurdles since he ran in the Fighting Fifth. But you can argue that his level of form on the flat overall last year was better than he'd ever showed. And he does represent one of the best trainers in Europe. So 33-1, if you want to throw away a fiver, you could do worse than throw it away on him.
Interesting thoughts there from Jim McGrath. Well, I can tell you now that we've now been joined by Timeform's very own Dan Barber, sneaking into the studio there. Dan, great to see you. Are you well?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for letting the Lancastrian in here. Yeah. That might be bad.
You've joined us at the right time. We're just talking about the Champion Hurdle. Anything you want to add to the Champion? Even if you've already just joined us, so even if we've already said it, by all means, well, what's your fancy for the Champion Hurdle, Dan?
Oh, I do think it's a very tricky race. I heard Jim, obviously, a second ago talking about the claims of Wicklow Brave. I was going to throw any shekels at something at a huge price. Madness, maybe. I'd probably give My Ten or Yours a chance at 33s. We know what he's like. He'd probably get out-battled by Archibald. He's that sort of character nowadays. But the thing about him is, you know, after 2 years off last year, he ran to a level that would have seen him, that saw him placed in a Champion. And I think if he runs to that level again, he'd be placed in another Champion. I don't think you've got much of the win part running for you, but you're getting to approaching 8-1 for a place, effectively. I thought, as long as conditions aren't bad, because I don't think he handles the mud, I'd throw a few quid at him at a big price.
Right, I'm going to ask you for your tips now, because we've got a song to play, and then we're going to go straight in to the news. Luke Elder, name the winner of the Champion Hurdle, please.
I think Bouvardet will win it, but to throw away a fiver as well, I think So Royal's a very big price, around 33-1 this season. Alan King-Yarder in better form than he was when disappointing in the Triumph last year.
Dan Barber.
Flashback, pretend it's 2014, back My Ten to Yours each way.
And Jim?
Chance, Brain Power, and throw a fiver away on Wicklow Brave.
Right, I'm going to say Bouvardet to win, and each way at 40-1, Cyrus Darius. I was at Malcolm Jefferson's the other day. They think he'll run a really good race. They really fancy Cyrus Darius. And even Ellis Plunkett, we heard Ellis said as well, that it could run a really good race to the Champion Hill. So each way at 40-1. With Ladbrokes, I'm going to say Cyrus Darius. But for winning, I am going to say Bouver Adair. Right, if you have just tuned in, a very good evening to you. This is the Cheltenham Preview live on Radio Yorkshire. Joined by myself, Bobby Beavers. On the panel, we have Luke Elder, Dan Barber and Jim McGraw. We're on DAB across the White Rose County. We're also available as well on the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile. You can watch us live too on Facebook and also via YouTube as well. You can also tune in on our website at allthews.radioyorkshire.co.uk. Our preview is in association with Ladbrokes for the latest markets. Do visit their website at allthews.ladbrokes.com. Right, as I say, do not go anywhere because we've got so much racing to talk about in the next hour. As I say, Dan Barber has very kindly joined us now. After 8 o'clock, Colin Tizard is going to be on the phone talking all things Q-Card and Native Hero. We'll be previewing the Gold Cup with him just after 8 p.m. 8:25, Nico de Boinville will be joining us on the phone also to talk about Altior and plus his other mounts. We're going to be looking ahead also to the Arkle and the Champion Chase. And then at 8:45, Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes will be joining us to give us all the latest betting with Ladbrokes. Hopefully we can tip you lots of winners along the way. Also, if you've got any questions for our panel, you can get involved on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. You can watch us live. Do ask us the questions on there, or you can tweet us at @radio_Yorkshire. I know we've had a few questions already for Jim. Maybe we've got a few questions for Dan Barber also. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back just after this very short break. After 8 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Colin Tizard.
Yorkshire Racing on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome back to the Cheltenham Preview in association with Ladbrokes. Hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm joined in the studio by Luke Elder, Dan Barber and Jim McGraw. Now, beforehand, for people who've been listening from the start, you would have heard me say that we were going to be joined by Colin Tizard. Unfortunately, we've been trying to get hold of Colin, and we can't get hold of him at the moment. So the best thing to do, if we speak about the Gold Cup in general, and then hopefully we will try and get hold of Colin before the end, and hopefully he will come on and be able to have a little chat with us. Right then, here's the latest bet at the moment as it stands with Ladbrokes. It's 3-1 Q-Card, 7-2 Native River, 4-1 Jackadam, 8-1 Outlander, 8-1 also Sizing John. Don Poley, who was third last year, is in there at 16-1. Bristol the May, winner of the Peter Marsh at Haydock back in January, is at 20-1. But let's start with the top end of the market. Dan, I will start with you, my friend. Q-Card is your 3-1 favourite. What's your thoughts on Q-Card?
Well, it'd be nice to hear Colin see what he does have to say. But I mean, for me, there's still a nagging stamina doubt, and maybe it's only nagging. I think Haydock's a track that, in recent seasons, probably since it was revamped, where it seems to be misleading as to what trips horses really want. For instance, I don't think Bristol Demise a Gold Cup staying type. He was made to look like a thorough stayer when he won. I think similar comments could apply to Q-Card. Yes, he's seen it out really well on bad ground over three at Haydock in the Betfair, but the question remained unanswered last year when he tipped up, and I'd be looking for a stronger stayer, and also a horse who hasn't had as many blips as he has recently. He's run three times of late for an ultra-consistent horse and not given his running, including when we saw him behind Thistlecrack in the King George.
And I've had a question come in from Bill Vernon. Hi, Bill. I hope you're enjoying the show. Do you think Jackadam is a good thing for the Gold Cup? Jim McGraw.
No, I don't think he's a good thing, but I think he's got a very strong chance. he's a horse we've seen only twice this season. There's a strong feeling in the Mullins camp as they got to know him better over the years that he's best fresh. And because the big race in Ireland in the middle of February was actually a week later than usual, he hasn't gone there as part of his prep this time around. So he goes there fresh. He was an excellent second, or has been in the last two renewals. And I just think in terms of form, he's got the strongest form over the Gold Cup trip. He's guaranteed to stay, despite a fall at the track a couple of years ago. Well, actually two falls here. On the Gold Cup, he's jumped well both times. In the Gold Cup, sorry, he's jumped well both times. And if he brings that form, I think they've got to beat him. And I think every horse in the race has got a question mark about it one way or another.
You're a Jekyll and fan, aren't you, Luke?
Yeah, just about. As both I think Dan and Jim would both advocate, he's got some very, very solid form in the past two renewals of this. He's fallen twice at Cheltenham, yes, in the Argento, the Cotswold Chase, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, and the JLT when a younger horse. But on the whole, he's a pretty sound jumper. He's finished second in the last two, as we've said. I'd like to see him get a more pressing ride from Ruby Walsh, because I don't think he's a horse that's blessed with a natural turn of foot. That came to fruition when he was third in the Lexus at Christmas time. It just gave first run to a few other horses. He never really got to make up that ground from then on after. To an extent, I think he was outpaced by Don Cossack on a turn for home last year in a Cheltenham Gold Cup. Don Cossack was a better horse anyway, so that also factors in. But you're going to have a good pace in the Cheltenham Gold Cup this year. You've got Native River, who'll probably go forward. Smad Placer, who'll probably go forward. All constitutes against, I think, Q Card, which, sorry to bring that against you again, but...
What's your words?
I think a real stamina-sapping Gold Cup will suit Jackadam more than it will suit the likes of Q Card. Native River would be another one to benefit from that.
Well, I think Native River, Dan, he's going to be the horse that's going to go from the front. He did that in Hastie Gold Cup. He followed up by doing it in the Welsh Grand National as well, winning last time out at Newbury. The interesting thing about Native River is that I was at Wetherby a year ago, just over a year, or 13 months ago now, and he was third in the Towton Novices behind Black Lion and Definitely Red. And if somebody would have said to me that next season Definitely Red is going to win the Hennessy Gold Cup, he's also going to go on and win the Welsh Grand National, and then he's going to be a strong contender for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, I wouldn't have believed him, Dan. This season he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, that's probably been the only bump in the road, hasn't it? Because he was so promising the first time run over fences at Chepstow that day, finished with loads to give. And this year he's just been... I wouldn't even say a revelation, he's just continued the progress, and he's a type of horse, so I suppose he keeps a bit back for himself. You never really knew how good he was. His performance in the 4 miler was pretty remarkable, considering the mistake he'd made and the strength again of him at the finish. And that's the key aspect, and that's his key quality for me. Not just that he's a fairly straightforward nowadays and uncomplicated ride, it's that he's strongest at the finish of every race he runs in. And we know, Jim and Luke have reiterated, that Jackadam is a Gold Cup horse, but if you were going to draw one that hadn't run in the race before out of the younger pretenders, I think you come up with Native River, a strong stayer, prominent racer, handles all conditions, and you know that the trip will really bring out the best in him.
Danny, you worried about the track?
Slightly. I suppose it's a bit of a niggle. It's not as flat as Newbury, and I suppose...
No, he's run there three times before. Now, you can't say he ran badly there last year, because he did run on really well at the day. But I thought he put himself in trouble last year because he was well positioned. He made two or three mistakes and then ran on late. And you either take the view that he's an improved horse, as you've said, because that's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact he's an improved horse this year, and it's not an issue. But I've just got my worries at the price he is. For people who are fans, no horse looked better on... Betfair Day at Newbury. He was absolutely bursting with goodness and well-being. Native River was absolute tribute to Colin Tizard and his team.
At the time, I put it down. An amateur riding him probably is, but he isn't an amateur's ride. He takes a bit of pushing and shoving and cajoling. Johnson, I mean, it's a match made in heaven, isn't it? He's perfect on him, gets behind him, is positive, which again, I think he wants. And I think as much as the suitability of the track, it was that really bad mistake that set him back. And I think if anything, if he doesn't make that mistake, I think he wins the race, mm-hmm. and we're not even discussing whether the track is an issue.
Mm. Right. The one thing I wanted to make about Native River, he's almost tricked us into thinking that he's a slow horse, in that he can just grind it out. But you watch back the Hennessy, he's got a real turn of foot from the back of the final fence. Carol's Destrier was never really going to go past for me on the wide outside. When he beat Le Mercury at Newbury last time out, yes, it's not Gold Cup worth form, but he was being pushed along, then suddenly again, off the back of the last, a real turn of foot kicked in, and suddenly he's disposed of Le Mercury, Bristol Demai, who had his excuses that day, readily. I get the feeling he's just going to keep finding more and more and more, whatever horse comes to him.
I think the key aspect, actually, of Chepstow was that as well. It's a race that obviously tests stamina to the max, but conditions weren't as bad as they often are, and it was the burst of pace between four out and three out that really won the race for him. He was closed down by Raz de Marie. I think that's the nagging doubt. It's the quality of his form. He is improving, but picked through the bare bones of it. He was well in at Chepstow because he couldn't race off any higher a mark compared to the Hennessy due to the restrictions. And then he has just beaten Le Mercury in an off-colour Bristol Demai. Mm. The credentials are there in terms of his running style, etc., and his stamina, but his form doesn't match up alongside Jack Adams.
Don Poley is going to also line up in this field as well. He's 16-1, should I say, with Ladbrokes. Obviously, Don Poley's also got entry 2 for the Grand National. Gordon Elliott was interviewed at the Grand National Weights Lunch at London. He said, before we talk about the Grand National, his priority, he's going to go for the Gold Cup. Dan, he was third in the race last year. Could this be a little bit of value for Don Poley at 16-1, do you think? From an each-way perspective.
Yes, there's place potential there, because I keep stressing, I think this is a weaker renewal than last year. And even think back to October, what this race was shaping up to be. You still had Vettura around, you still had Thistlecrack, Don Cossack was still fit. It's now been blown apart, basically, by the departures of others, and as a result, it is a weaker renewal than it was 12 months ago. If Don Poley runs to the same level, it might be enough to get him placed. If we get rain, all the better for him, but he can't beat Jack Adam, can he, on the phone book?
The one thing about Don Poley is that we almost seem to have a rejuvenated character last time out. I know Gordon Elliott came out and said that he's gone hunting with the horse, they've tried a few different things, and I think he even said that he led a few four-year-olds up the gallops, which with Don Poley I think is hard to believe, but he made all to a point in the Irish Gold Cup. He jumped superbly throughout. He just seemed like a completely different character. Whether I think he's going to win the Gold Cup, that's a whole different kettle of fish, but if he does keep improving like he showed last time out and showing us that he is no longer, as some people have dubbed him, Don Slowly, then I think he's a real character or a real player in the Gold Cup.
I just think, Dan, I went to Ireland for that weekend for the February meeting, and I just got the impression they dawdled round and there were virtually every horse in the field was in contention going to the last fence. To me, it wasn't a proper test.
Yeah.
Now, I think sometimes you pick an argument that suits the one that you've got. So I'm conceding I could be wrong because it's not actually set in stone. But my impression was that was a race to throw out the window.
Yeah, well, I put a rate on the race. And I suspect I'm too high. I'm just waiting to be... So it's like... I will be proven wrong. It's just a case of when it happens. I went high 160 because I wanted to give...
What did you base that around then?
I wanted to give Sizing John a chance as being the best horse in that race.
Right.
Going into it, we had Don Poley ahead of him. We had a couple of other who he beat ahead of him. I felt, because of his progress...
So you wanted him ahead of those next time they met?
Yeah, next time they met. So it's fairly flimsy. Perhaps I should have gone lower on the bare form and given him a bit extra just to tie him in. I'm not confident in the form, and I'm going to sound two-faced in that sense, because I do think there's a perhaps flimsy case to be made for more of that just because of the sparkle he showed. But I'm basically with Jim. That is, it's suspect form. They finished in a heap. And is Sizing John really the out-and-out stayer that some would believe now? Is it not a case of him actually doing them for speed in a race where they didn't go a true pace?
I think the other point about Cheltenham and the Gold Cup course, which is that little bit stiffer than the old course that they run on the first and the third day, a lot of horses stay 3 miles, but it's 3 1/4 the Gold Cup, and very rarely is it slowly run. It is a proper test.
Mm. Well, I think this year we're looking at almost a Coney Grease Gold Cup 2 years ago, when they're going to go a relentless gallop from the start. Native River, he'll be up there. I'm not sure they're going to go 100% forward with him, but Smad Place will most likely take the field along. I hope Jack Adam's not too far away. They're going to go a really good gallop from the outset in the Gold Cup this year for me. I don't think it's going to be like last year, when I don't think they went a hectic pace early on and they were still allowed to sprint a little at the end of the race. I think that's without abusing Bobby too much, how Kew Card was still so tight in contention, still travelling so well.
At the third last.
But I think, again, that could be Kew Card's undoing, but it could pay into the hands of Native River, Jack Adam, and it could go against, as Dan rightly said, Sizing John, who is he really an out and out stayer?
Champagne West would be another, because
yeah,
I think there's plenty against him, but A, he'll be one of the pace setters, B, he won't get the soft lead that he got in the Thyestes, and C, there's a stamina doubt. There's also a jumping concern with him, and I couldn't really have him on my mind.
Well, I've had a few people sending questions in via Facebook Live. Craig Till said, do you think Moonracer wins the Supreme? Yes. Shane Gallagher has also been in touch as well. What is your thoughts on... thank you for your question, Craig. We did cover the Supreme at the beginning of the show. Shane Gallagher has been in touch. What's your thoughts on Outlander, Jim McGrath?
That he comes into this group where he appeared to do something last time that I didn't think he was capable of the time before. He's a smart horse, but sticking to my guns that this is a proper slog, I don't think that will necessarily suit him.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Yeah. I think he did the likes of Jack and Em and the Lexus for a turn of foot.
Brian Toole has also been involved as well. He sent us a question. Hi, Brian. Thank you very much for your question. He says, more of that will surprise in the Gold Cup. This horse will run a massive race. What do you think to that, Dan?
Well, Jim, you know John Joe better than I do. Fair long association. And I don't want to get bogged down at all. In fact, I try to ignore the noise of trainer speak and stuff. But he keeps reiterating he's the best horse I've ever trained. There just seems to be a bit of a twinkle in his eye that he may have more of that back in his best form since he gave Annie Power £7 and beat her in the World Hurdle.
I saw John Joe very briefly when I was in Ireland that day, but I haven't had a long chat to him for a while. Funnily enough, though, I did speak to Jackie about something that isn't racing related a couple of weeks ago, and she just said, you know, how frustrating season they've had, because outwardly most of the horses appear fine and some of them have run pretty well and some of them have run appallingly, and there just has never been something that they put their finger on. But he was happier with him last time, and they do seem to be showing, if you're looking at percentage rates, a little bit better than they were certainly in the middle of the season when they were disastrous. And you know, it wouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, when he reappeared, when they won the race with Tak Andusoy at the Paddy Power meeting, John Joe did say, well, you know, I've told everybody he's got a problem, and today he's just gone and run again as though he's got a problem. Is it something that catches? Is it his wind? Does it catch him sometimes? Does he bleed sometimes and not others? You take that chance, but he's probably still talented.
He bled in the RSA last year, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He was third or fourth on that occasion. How much of a concern would that be for you guys?
Oh, very much so.
It's got to be in the front of your mind, hasn't it?
It's a weakness.
Mm.
It's as Jim said, I mean, this is the most, bar the Grand National, it's the most grueling test of any staying chaser. So if you've got a hole somewhere, bleeding, breathing issues, this is the race that brings it out. And that is my doubt. Can his body stand up to the rigours of a demanding race?
And you say, why don't you find out at home? You rarely do. I mean, it does happen occasionally. But if you've got a horse that you know has an issue, you mind him at home. You try and give it, because a horse loses confidence as well as the physical aspect of it. It either can't breathe or it the sensation of bleeding comes in. It backs off the next fence usually. So at home, when you've had one that does that, you try and build so you don't put it to the test and you don't actually find out till it runs again.
Yeah.
So, but he's a big price for a horse that you know the talent is there.
Yeah, and I thought Mark Walsh got a good tune out of him as well. It's the best he's jumped over fences in Ireland last time, despite the fact he ended up hitting the deck. It wasn't a mistake.
It wasn't. He crumpled, didn't he? Yeah.
I think I just want to quickly mention this as well. Craig Bell has also been in touch with the show. Hi, Craig. Thank you for tuning in. He's put a case up for more of that. He says the unexposed horse is more of that. Still relatively new to chasing, has won at Cheltenham four times, twice over the fences. Held every chance before falling, proven other trip, running all ground, solid each way, I think, if the jumping holds up. That's the thoughts there of Craig Bell. Darren Hadley has been involved as well. He said, good stuff, guys. Best bet of the meeting. We'll come to that very shortly. What I do want to know, though, is what is going to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup? Jim, I will start with yourself.
Well, it has to be Jack Adam for me. I'm not sitting here and saying he's an absolute certainty, but I think he's got very strong claims, and he comes here not only representing Willie Mullins, but off the back of an ideal prep.
Dan?
Two votes for Jack Adam.
That's a clean sweep for Jack Adam. I told you this would happen, Bobby. We warned you.
Where's the Kleenex?
Oh dear. Right then, my tip, and I would absolutely love it if he won the Gold Cup, and that would be cue card.
Why are you tipping him?
Because last year I thought he would have won it. I think this year Paddy Brennan got it wrong in the Charlie Hall, hence why Irish Cavalier went on. I thought he was absolutely superb against Conor Gray in the Betfair Chase. He was never going to beat Thistlecrack, and to be fair,
like he had a leg missing.
What in the King George?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, to be fair, right, it was never going to beat Thistlecrack. Thistlecrack was too far in front. It tested him too much. Wasn't going to happen. You know, overshot last time.
Bobby, sentiment doesn't put bread on the table.
I was going to say, though, I think if Native River goes out in front and has been running like we've already alluded to, then I do think Native River could be the one to beat. But I will never, ever go against it, Q card. You know that, Jim. You know I'd never go against Q card.
Being veterans handicaps.
Right then. If you've just tuned in, a very good evening to you. This is the Cheltenham Preview live on Radio Yorkshire. Myself, Bobby Beavers, Luke Elder, Dan Barber, and Jim McGraw in association with Ladbrokes. Right, do not go anywhere, because coming up very shortly, we're going to be hearing from Nico de Boinville talking to is about Altio. We're going to preview the Arkell, we're going to preview the Champion Chase, and we're also going to be speaking to Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes, giving us all the latest betting. Don't go anywhere, we'll be back very shortly.
He's so loud, he doesn't need a microphone. Racing on Radio Yorkshire with Bobby Beavers.
Yes, a very good evening. Welcome back to the Cheltenham Preview here live on Radio Yorkshire with myself, Bobby Beavers, Luke Elder, Dan Barber and Jim McGraw in association with Ladbrokes. You can listen to us on DAB across the White Rose County, also available as well on the TuneIn Radio app for your mobile, and you can watch us live on Facebook at our Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, also live via YouTube as well, and you can also visit our website to watch and listen to it, all the www.radioyorkshire.co.uk. Now, we've been talking about the Gold Cup, we've been talking about the Supreme, the Champion Hurdle, the Stayers Hurdle. We've just done the Gold Cup preview before that little break there, and now we're going to talk all things Arkell. And the person we've got on the phone now very kindly has taken up his time to have a chat with us, and that is Altior's jockey, Nico de Boinville. Nico, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, how are you?
Very well, Nico. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad, thanks. Good.
Excellent. Are you looking forward to riding this superstar in the making, Altior?
Very much. You know, he's definitely the standout rider of the week. You know, at the moment we're just tying up all the preparations at the moment, and looking forward to the week ahead.
Altior was so impressive in the Game Spirit last time out at Newbury, Nico. He earned comparisons after that to the likes of Sprinter Sacre Duvan, of course. It's hard to compare the two or the three even. How bogged down would you get with comparisons like that?
You know, you've still got a lot to prove. You know, those two horses in their own right have produced some pretty spectacular performances, and Arthur's got it, you know, all in front of him. But, you know, he's definitely going the right way, and we've been very impressed with him in all his work and all the way he's gone about his races. So, yeah, you know, you definitely can't knock him anyway.
Nico, Dan Barber from Timeform, very quick one. Close, miles away, near, were you two considering or even running the Champion Chase, or was it just never a possibility?
That really is nothing to do with me at all. The decision was completely up to the governor and his owners, and I think they are always going to go the same route as Sprinter did. So, you know, keep them as a novice.
As horses, physically, to me, they look very, very different. Altior, Nico, is, to me, sort of almost short-backed, whereas Sprinter Sacre was an archetypal, old-fashioned chaser, great big rangy horse who covered a lot of ground. Are they very different to ride?
They are very different. You know, Sprinter was a big, solid horse, and Altior is more, you know, he's narrow, and he's more sort of... Yeah, being by High Chaparral, he's got that bit of the type to him. But you know, he's still a big, rangy horse, and both of them had loads of scope. Altior's got loads of scope, and above all, they're both very intelligent horses, I think, which helps a lot.
Obviously, his form at the moment has been kept to 2 miles, and looking forward, we could well have a clash with the likes of Duvan further down the line. How or where do you think his future lies? Do you think he'd be an out-and-out two-miler, or would you be unafraid of stepping up in trip?
I don't see why he'd want to step up in trip, if I'm honest. You know, I think a clash with Duvan would definitely be on the cards. But look, we've got a big test next week, so let's hope he can come through that with flying colours.
And Nico as well, you know, jockeys want to ride the best horses. You look at some of the horses you've ridden to victory over the years. You've got your likes of Conagre in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Also, you've ridden Sprinter Sacre 12 months ago. And now you're riding Altior. Do you feel you're in such a lucky position to be riding such talent?
I feel very lucky to be in the position I'm in, and lucky to be connected with a great trainer and some really good owners as well. So, you know, but it's about getting the job done, and we're just focused on doing that exact thing.
And in regards to Conagre, is there a chance we could see him at Aintree at all?
I'm not sure about Aintree, but there's definitely a possibility about Punchestown towards the end of the season, so that should be interesting.
So, potentially Conagre, we could see him at the Punchestown Festival?
Definitely. I think that's the plan anyway so far. He's been doing a lot of rehab work, but that's done a great job. So we're definitely trying to aim for that, I think.
Well, Nico, thank you very much for your time here on Radio Yorkshire. Best of luck with Altior. Any more rides for you to look out for? Where you're going to be riding next week?
A few here and there. Mike Bright, he should put up a good run. You know, he won very well the other day at Doncaster. Another horse that ran at Doncaster, I think, is slightly bubbling under is Soldier in Action, who goes to the Triumph, and I think he's a nice price at 20, isn't he?
Fantastic. Well, Nico, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Radio Yorkshire. Best luck at the Cheltenham Festival next week.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you guys.
Thank you, Nico. Thank you.
Cheers, Nico.
Such a gentleman there, speaking about Altior and Mike Bite as well. Very impressive. I was there at Doncaster.
And Soldier of Fortune. Not interesting, is he, Dan?
No, he isn't. And I was going to, maybe if we'd have a bit more time, ask about that. Rather Be looks an interesting handicap running fencing, but he might be in the boys' race, as they call it, the Pipey race, and Ned Curtis would probably ride him. But I suspect, excited though a bit about Mike Bite, his week is probably... Mm-hmm. About the Arkle, isn't it?
Well, I think we may have got a little bit of an exclusive there, because, you know, we said that Conagre may turn up at Punchestown, which is quite interesting, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I thought that might be his season, pretty much, when they said we can't make the Gold Cup with him. You'd imagine that would have been the aim from as soon as he started the road to recovery. And he'll probably catch, conversely, he'll probably catch a few of those that have been to Cheltenham and or Aintree. Mm-hmm. As the fresher horse, which can often be an advantage at that meeting.
Well, we are pushing for time now, so we know about Altior. We've spoken to Nico. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to you one by one, and I want you to tell me, you know, which horse is going to finish second to Altior. Luke Elder, coming to you first.
Charbel, I think he's Charbel, the obvious one, isn't he? I backed him for the JLT, but seemingly he is going to come for the Arkle. He'd be the obvious. Not danger to Altior, because I don't think there are really any dangers equine-wise anyway to Altior on the day, but I think Charbel each way would be the way I'd go.
Dan?
Flying Angel won the Kingmaker at Warwick, more because he's got probably superior stamina to a lot of these. If the likes of Charbel, Royal Caviar try to beat Altior, they're probably going to just beat themselves. And Flying Angel, who sees out 2 miles really well, did so when he beat Gino Trail at Warwick.
Yep.
Might be stronger than a few of them up the hill.
Well, Flying Angel's currently 20-1 with Ladbrokes, if you fancy backing Flying Angel each way, Jim.
I don't think there's a group of chasers who are smart animals behind Altior, with York Hill almost certainly not taking part. And I don't think there's a lot between in terms of form. So it'll be how they perform on the day. But I do like Charbel. I think, you know, he's coming here fresh. Obviously, he was no match for Altior when they clashed early on in the season. But if he isn't ridden into the ground to try and beat him from the front, then I think he can take second.
Well, from the Arkle, we're going to go now to the champion chase. So one red hot favourite to another. Dovan, 13 from 13 since joining Willie Mullins, won the Supreme back in 2015. He won the Arkle last year, 12 months ago. He's your 1-4 favourite. What an absolute star, Jim McGrath.
Yeah, absolute star. Very impressive looking horse. It's not his fault that he hasn't had a lot to beat, in my opinion, in terms of star rivals. But even so, he's looked impressive virtually every time he's been on the track. He's a cut above these, and the race is his to lose.
Luke?
He's just a scary individual, isn't he? He's never once... Have you had a moment's doubt about him? He jumps so efficiently. He travels so well. He just seems like the dream horse for this sort of trip for Ruby Walsh. Next year he might get tested, but this year it's hard to see anything really raising their game to him.
I think that he's pretty much all summed up, really, Dan, isn't
he? Yeah, you do want to see that clash, but I still think LTO, he was probably a better winner of the Supreme LTO than Duvan, but the way Duvan has adapted to fences, and as Luke says, the efficiency of his jumping at the moment puts him a step ahead of LTO, though it's a clash that I think we all want. We just don't want it to be the Carto Star Denman situation, where I got the impression that neither of them turned up in top form on the same day. It was always one showed his form and the other didn't. If we can have both on song in a 2 mile race at Cheltenham next season, the champion chase, it'll be an absolute joy.
It certainly will. Duvan versus LTO potentially in 2018. Just as I say, just because we are pushing for time, Jim, well, we're all in agreement that Dovan's going to win. Again, what's going to finish second, in your opinion, Jim, in the champion chase?
Well, I mean, God's Own is a horse. There appears to be some doubt in some quarters as to whether he's going to actually run. I hope he does run in this. He's got a pretty good record in the spring. He's a smart horse on his day. And I could see him chasing Duvan home.
Dan?
Total agreement. The market was ideal for an each-way bet in many ways. You're sort of wasting the win part with Duvan, but the place part's generous. Ahead of him with the likes of Altior and Underso in the market, neither were going to go for the race. And it'll probably cut up to 6 or 7, so you may only have 2 places on the day. I just hope this Sea Sense go for the 2 miler. That's his trip, and he can pick up the pieces late and give him most to do, give Duvan most to do.
Luke?
Yeah, I have the same thoughts of Dan. The race could well fall apart and likely will. I think Special Tiara was placed in the race 12 months ago. He hasn't shown his best form this season, which would be a slight concern, but he does always seem to run his best races at the Cheltenham Festival. He performed well at Kempton and other places, but Henry de Bromhead gave a really good report of him a couple of weeks ago. Special Tiara, I think it's around 20-1 with Ladbrokes. He'd be my idea of an each-way bet.
Now, we're going to be joined by Hayley O'Connor very shortly from Ladbrokes, giving us all the latest betting. People are getting in touch via Facebook. If you've got any questions for the panel tonight, do get in touch. Go to our Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, and you can watch us live on there. People are coming in with a few questions. Let's pick out a couple of questions for you. Tim Reed's been in touch. Hi, Tim. He said, footpad is an each-way steal wherever he runs. Christy Colgan has been in touch as well, saying to the panel, what is the best bet of the meeting, Jim?
The best bet of the meeting, the best shorty, I think, is You Know What I Mean, Harry. The best medium price one is Jacadam, and the best each way bet to me is Beware the Bear.
Mr. Barbett?
I'm going to go best shorty, Defy de Soy, in the Triumph. Best mid-range one, I won't copy Jimmy Jacket, even though I half think it is, for me, a genie in a bottle in the 4 mile. Out-and-out stayer, the trip has to improve him. Still had only a handful of starts over fences. As for an absolute wild card, go for Winter Escape in the County. Not seen since the Great Wood. Conditions probably got the better of him there. Fresh, back on spring ground, was considered a potential top-notcher last season. I see no reason why 12 months on we should think that that's no longer the case.
Luke?
The best shorty, I say Death Duty in the Albert Bartlett, a horse I've liked for a long time. I think stepping up to 3 miles will really suit him. Already a grade one winner as well when beating Augusta Kate, who fell at the last time out. The best medium price one is around sort of 5-1-ish. Bacardi's in the Neptune is a novice that I've been really impressed with. Won the Deloitte last time out. Stepping up in trip, it is only going to help him out for the Willie Mullins yard. And the best longer priced one, I think Consul Detai is a really, really well handicapped horse in the Coral Cup. Of mark of 140, been second to Brain Power the last twice. I don't think there'll be too many horses going to the festival better handicapped than him.
Just very quickly, Dan, I'll come to you. Dean Fitzgerald has been in touch. Hi, Dean. Thank you for tuning in. He says, what about the Ryanair Empire of Dirt?
Yeah, this race has taken a slight turn because the market's now started to get a bit wiser to this. This time last week, I thought, and I didn't do anything about it, tragically, that one of Underso, who was an amazingly big price relative to what he normally starts, I don't think he's ever started bigger than 5-4 in a race. It was him and Empire of Dirt against the field. I thought one of them would win. As the money's come for Underso, I'd probably sooner back Empire of Dirt each way now. Fours isn't spectacular at the moment. I can imagine you'll get 9-2, 5, or closer to, or on the day.
Jim?
Empire of Dirt's an interesting horse. I mean, some people are talking about trip an issue, and maybe they're right. I just feel that in the middle of his chasing career, he had a spell where he couldn't jump for Toffee, and he seems a much more reliable fencer now. He was very good last year, and it wouldn't surprise me if he stepped up to the plate and turned under so over.
Just very quickly, Luke.
Yeah, Empire of Dirt would be my bet in the race.
Fantastic. Well, do not go anywhere, because very shortly, as I say, we're going to be joined by Hayley O'Connor. She's going to give us all the latest betting from Ladbrokes. So I'll speak to Hayley as well. Hopefully, we'll get to speak to the panel just before we say goodbye, just before 9 o'clock, and then we'll be able to get their naps of the meeting. So it'll be interesting to see what Jim, Dan and Luke have to say. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a little short break. Keep those questions coming in. If we've got time at the end, we'll throw a few questions. But as I say, next thing to do is to speak to Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break.
He's so loud, he doesn't need a microphone. Racing on Radio Yorkshire with Bobby Beavers.
That always gets a laugh out of a gym. That just so loud. Damn, you don't agree with that. I can't be quiet when I want to be, can't I?
I've never heard it.
Right then, on that note, we're now going to be joined on the phone by Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes to give us all the latest betting with Ladbrokes. Hayley, good evening.
Good evening, Bobby. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How's yourself?
I'm very good. I'm looking forward to next week, and I'm just trying to put a few jigsaw pieces together. But it's tricky.
It certainly is. What's your latest betting for the Gold Cup?
Well, do you know what? The Gold Cup, we're in an unusual situation. This hasn't been a kind race to bookmakers of late, but with Thistlecrack coming out and him being so heavily supported, you know, it's not going to be it's not going to be the, what could have been a horror result for us. Cue cards surprisingly weak in the betting. He is getting on in years. Perhaps people, you know, thinking that his best days are behind him. Certainly, I did a Cheltenham preview last Thursday night, and David Casey was adamant that he's not the same horse he was last year, and suggesting he said he thinks he's two stone below his best, despite his, you know, really glowing reports. Native River 7-2. John Franklin was at that same preview. He loves Native River, but we're seeing a few real lofty bets, Bobby, for Jack Adam, who's been second twice in the race. I like the look of Sizing John at 8-1, an impressive winner from Jessica Harrington's yard. Robert Power is going to be riding him, and he's riding out of his skin this season. So I think at a price 8-1. Champagne West, also a horse worth noting. Danny Mullins is riding him to give him his first Cheltenham Festival winner. Henry de Bromhead, I spoke to him the other day, and he thinks he's going to put in a real bold show at 16-1.
And in the Champion Hurdle, how you measure it in terms of it, Yanworth and Bouverdere, how have you split that one?
Well, Yanworth is slightly ahead of Bouverdere. Yanworth currently 5-2, Bouverdere 130. But this market has just become so peculiar in the past few days. It was revolving around the front runners in the betting. But the last day or two, the first three, I would say, have become a little bit weak. Petit Mouchoir included, who's my fancy in the race. I'm not too keen that we aren't seeing the right market signals for him. I can't believe he's 5-1. He won two grade ones in a row over here in Ireland. He won the Irish Champion Hurdle and the Ryanair Hurdle. But people are going for much bigger priced horses in the race today. They're looking at the likes of Footpad, and they're 20-1. Chip Bellow as well, who I think was 25 and now into 20-1. And I know you mentioned Sirius Darius, the outsider at 40-1, along with Wicklow Brave. But this is a race I wouldn't be surprised if we see a bit of an upset in.
And in the Champion Chase, Dovad is your red hot favourite. Have you seen any support for other horses? Maybe the punters getting involved, going for the each way value.
Well, it's kind of a tricky race because if you're going to back a horse each way, you know, the betting currently includes Altior, second favourite, 2-1 and under so at 7s, who's more than likely going to go for the Ryanair. So I actually think that this race is one that you should view, you know, with who's going to come second. Uxiandre, another horse that probably won't turn up, and I'd be surprised to see Broom Broom Mag there. So looking at the likes of Special Tiara or Kerry Lee supplemented Top Gamble, and this is a horse, you know, she said she was impressed with the way he ran at Cheltenham, finishing third the last time, and you know, she's a smart lady, she wouldn't be
supplementing him for the good of her health. So she thinks that he's going to be in the mix. Now, also, Bobby, it is worth mentioning that if you want to, you know, Duvan's a spectacular horse just to look at, and if you do want to throw a fiver on, you could back him at 3-1 that he'll win by less than 5 lengths, 9-4 that he'll win by between 5 and 9, and 9-4 that he'll win by over 9 lengths. And I think the last one I mentioned is the most likely situation in that.
And in the stayers hurdle, Hayley, you know what I mean, Harry. Is he going to make it 9 from 9, do you think, for Harry Fry, that is?
Well, I mean, we're definitely, you know what I mean, Harry, we're definitely not going to be cheering him on in down below in the bookies. But he's been back to all prices, Bobby, 5, 4, 7-2, and now he's into 6-5. And he's, if you look on paper, he's got the credentials. He's the Cleve hurdle winner, long mm-hmm. walk, long distance. He's done all what other stayer hurdle winners have done. Now, I know you're going to think that I'm just saying all these Irish horses the other side of the order, but it is worth noting that James Hill, this horse does so well at Cheltenham without winning, right? I think he's been second in the bumper, he's been second in the Supreme, and he's been second in the RSA. And somebody out there believes that he's going to do very well in this race, because he's been really heavily backed by, I would say, a handful of punters, but more than a handful of cash, if you know what I mean. He's was chopped into 7-1 today from 8. But how can we forget? I just can't get over that Jezky, who's won 8 grade ones and won the champion hurdle in record time, 8-1 for this. I mean, I don't think it's the most wonderful renewal of the Stayers hurdle, but you tell me, how could you not back him at 8-1? I know last time, you know, if you say there was he was beaten, but look at the horse he was beaten by. It was his second run after a long comeback, and I'd say Jessica Harrington probably wanted him really good the first time round, but Cheltenham being her ultimate goal, she probably didn't, you know, really drive him with this in mind.
And in the Arkle as well, Hayley, Altior, you know, we know is very popular in the market. Have you seen any movers at all in the Arkle market? Particularly one I want to mention, not biased to the north at all, but Cloudy Dream from Malcolm Jefferson.
Cloudy Dream is currently 14-1, and it's interesting that you should mention this horse, because one of our top traders in Ladbrokes, he said he's still holding a torch for this horse. I think he was really good that time he ran in Haydock, despite only beating a small field. But he's currently 14-1. You know, we're all dying to see Altior. I'm such a wonderful horse. York Hill would be great to see him line up against him, but I don't think we are. I think he's going to go into the JLT. And actually, Davy Russell at our Cheltenham preview really saying that's a disgrace. You know, he said they should be taking each other on. But, you know, the Mullins team feeling that it's more important to win our race than to win the championship race or come second in it, at least. But the Arkle is actually one of my favourite races at the festival, because, you know, it's fast, it's furious, and the horses, you know, they're not that experienced. So it really makes the hairs in the back of my neck stand, and I just can't wait to watch Altior in action.
How's your Supreme market looking, Hayley?
Well, the opener. Now, Melon has been so popular in this, Bobby, and I actually got a text before he ran saying, you know, on his only run, and that's the big thing, of course, he's only had the one run under his belt, and I got a text saying, back this horse, Melon. He was massively supported on his debut at Leopard's Den. He won by 10 lengths, but I thought it was a bit of a weakish race that day. Neon Wolf is currently ahead of him in the betting at 130, but he could go to the Neptune. He's a shorter price at 2-1. And funnily enough, I went in to buy some cushions the other day in the shop that Ruby Walsh's auntie works in. And she said, you're never going to believe that the owner of Neon Wolf is actually in here. So obviously, she said it's going to be ground dependent which day he runs, but more likely the Neptune. So there's some insider information from interior design. We have to listen about Moonracer, right? Because where is he going to go? If I owned him, I believe he's a fragile horse, and he comes from a yard that doesn't mind putting novices in testing company. Moonracer, I'd nearly back him for the champion hurdle, but he's in here at 5-1. And Bunk Off Early, I was kind of liked him, and then I had a look at his pedigree, and I thought, can a Zebedee or a son of Zebedee, you know, win at the Cheltenham Festival? I don't know.
And just before I let you go, Hayley, obviously we know the obvious Irish leading contenders, but you live over in Ireland. You go to the racing all the time over in Ireland. Any Irish horses that may be slightly under the radar that we need to keep an eye out for?
Well, I'm going to say two things, right? Because two interesting things I've seen this season so far, right? One is when I came over to Cheltenham Run at the end of January, and I saw Undersow, and I saw him setting up in the paddock, and there was a few English lads beside me, and they're like, oh, they're going to back, and they're like, oh, don't know, look at him, he's sweating up really badly in the pre-parade ring. And I said, I went over and I said, don't let that put you off Undersow. He always does that. So if your race fans are going to Cheltenham Festival and they look at him in the parade ring and he's a lather of sweat, it's okay, he does that all the time. So that's one worth noting. Still back him for the Ryanair 3-1. And the other thing was, in Punchestown last time, I went down to the parade ring mainly to see Apple's Jade. I was thinking I completely discounted Lamini based on the fact that she looked like kind of a hairy goat in the parade ring. I said, she's definitely going to need the run. Clearly she didn't. She beat a really classy mare in Apple's Jade. I spoke to Gordon Elliott afterwards and he said there was no excuses for Apple's Jade. So if Lamini can do that after a long absence, what's she going to do in whatever race she turns up at Cheltenham? I think she's only going to go from strength to strength, and I think she's a real star of the future.
Well, Hayley, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Radio Yorkshire. Look forward to speaking to you at the festival. Just to let the Radio Yorkshire listeners know that our Cheltenham coverage next week is in association with Ladbrokes. Do visit their website at allthews.ladbrokes.com. You'll be hearing from Hayley O'Connor. Also, Nicola McGeady as well will be joining us to give you all the latest market moves and betting throughout the whole of the week. You can listen to it exclusively here on Radio Yorkshire. Hayley, thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Look forward to seeing you, Bobby, and best of luck.
Thank you, Hayley. Hayley O'Connor there, joining us from Ladbrokes. Now, we are pushing for time here. We've got 2 minutes and 23 seconds. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to quickly ask for the naps. Junior, nap of the festival, please.
You should get a really good run for your money if you back Beware the Bear each way in the 4-miler.
Dan?
Oh, it's a head-to-head. That's awkward. I'm a Genie in a Bottle fan in the 4-miler.
Luke?
Consul the tie in the Coral Cup.
And for me, my nap at the festival is Might Bite. Just very quickly, I've just seen a question come through from Thomas Marriott. He said, will a Northern Trained horse win at this year's festival? I know you like to see one, Bobby. Could it be? And I would say yes. Double W's in the Close Brothers Novice Handicap on the final, the final race on day one. I think double W's for Malcolm Jefferson could do that for us. He's 20-1. With Ladbrokes. Wow, well, I hope you've enjoyed our Cheltenham preview here live on Radio Yorkshire in association with Ladbrokes. Next week is a fantastic 4 days of racing. Get yourself down there if you can and enjoy the absolutely fantastic action. Thank you very much for everybody who's got in contact with the show, for your questions, for watching us live on Facebook Live, for listening to us on DAB Radio on your mobiles. We really do appreciate your support. I know a lot of you have been tuning in on Facebook Live, so we really do thank you for that. Horse racing is a fantastic sport, and you know, Luke, horse racing is fantastic. We need to get lots of people interested, don't we?
Absolutely. So everyone go to the festival. It's one of the best sporting occasions you'll ever witness and go to in your entire lifetime. There's nothing like it.
And Jim, it's the second most attended sport in the calendar. Second to football.
Yeah, well, it's a magnificent spectacle, and as Luke's just said, it Cheltenham brings it alive. The roar as that the starter drops his flag for the first race, something to behold and something to listen to.
Dan, how magnificent is the Cheltenham roar? Very quickly,
it's loud, it's exciting, and it sets you up. Really, it's almost as traditional as everything else at Cheltenham, whether it be the fish curry at half time, whether it be the winner of Supreme getting a rousing reception. It sets up the week perfectly, and you need stamina. But if you get to the end of it in one piece and you've not lost your money, you're doing all right.
You certainly does. But we've got 6 seconds left of the show. So for me, Bobby Beavers, Luke Elder, Dan Bob and Jim McGraw, it's a very good evening.